Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So we've got my buddy Mike with us from Derrigo Business Group. Mike is a business broker. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in today's segment. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
So, Mike, it's kind of neat because a lot of people, when they say I'm a business broker, they're like, okay, but what does it mean? What does it mean, Mike? What does a business broker do?
Yeah, a lot of times when I tell people I'm a business broker, I get blank stares. So, you know, the real definition of a business broker is a professional who assists in the buying and selling of a business. But really the principal value of a business broker is to act as a buffer between the seller and the buyer when it comes to selling a business. In my case, I primarily represent the seller. I'll do the valuations, I list the business, I find the buyers, I write up the purchase agreement between the buyer and seller as well.
Mike, this sounds like an extremely challenging job because I think as a business owner, we all think our business is worth $1 billion. You know, it's like, well, it's not
yeah.
what the numbers really support, but, you know, hey, but I got a really great brand name. We've got that brand name recognition, Michael. That's worth a lot of money, right?
Right.
How do you have that proverbial talk with people going, Kev, the numbers are kind of the numbers, but, you know, this is what the business is worth. Sometimes that can be a challenging
yeah.
chat.
It often is. A lot of times people are, they have an expectation of what their business is valued at. But in reality, a lot of times the business is really, the value of the business is really whatever you made last year. I mean, if you had a great 2014, that's all well and good, but that it's really what have you done for me lately? And I try to sit down with the seller and explain to them that that it's in their best interest to either, you know, go with this value or take another year and try to, you know, get your sales up or whatever it is that you do and try to get that value back up, because primarily the lenders won't give a buyer a loan if they do their due diligence, and it's important for them to make sure that they're getting their you know, their best deal on the money.
So what are some of the steps to take in picking a business broker? Because you talk about trust, Mike. You know, you're looking mm-hmm. at a business broker, they give you, you know, a value for your company, and you're hoping that it's fair. It's not, you know, hey, it's worth this, you know, and it's worth more than that. How do you know? How do you keep everyone honest?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's certain things that, you know, you really have to look at the numbers. You have to be organized, and when you're looking for a business broker, you have to make sure it's a good fit for your broker, you know, with you, the seller, and the broker, both personally and professionally. A lot of times when I go meet a potential seller, I'll just sit down with them and have a little get to know you session. I learn about the business. And the seller learns about the selling process, and there's got to be a lot of transparency there. It's really important for the seller to feel comfortable with their broker, and you have to be upfront with them at all times and not sugarcoat anything.
Mike, I think one of the challenges I'm seeing here is my friends who run cash businesses. You know, so
mm-hmm.
from a taxation standpoint, financial standpoint, it's X. But in real life, it's something more than X. What happens then?
Right.
Is it just the numbers are the numbers?
Well, so, yeah, it's imperative to for a business owner to keep a P&L statement. P&L is a profits and loss statement, and they have to be able to keep track of it and be able to speak to it when someone's coming in to look at their books and look at their numbers. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, being able to prove that that money is coming in, whether it's a bank statement or something similar to that. It's important for a buyer to actually see that.
Because, like I said, I imagine that can be kind of a challenge. Now, you mentioned a little bit about the advice of, you know, trying to get your numbers, you know, to look as good as they can. Maybe you had it down here. Maybe you want to consider waiting and kind of, you know, letting the business bounce back, if you will. What other advice do you have for someone who's like, you know what, Mike, I'm looking, you know, maybe 3 years from now to sell my business? What advice would you tell them to think about today?
Well, yeah. So when you go to sell a business, and you bring up a great point, Kevin, it's very important to plan ahead. Prepare for at least a minimum, if you're looking to sell, at least a year in advance, preferably three, and make sure you keep your financials streamlined and as clean as possible, because it's really important to get the maximum value for your company. And the thing is, you know, your company is your baby, and you want the person who buys your company to succeed or even do better than what you were able to do. So it's important to start off, you know, from as soon as you can to make sure your financials are in order.
So now let's talk about valuations. How do those work, and how much do you charge to do an evaluation with someone?
So it's funny because I've seen people list their companies for sale, and I ask how they arrive at their valuation, and a lot of people think it's triple the gross value. No, it's none of that. It's primarily based on your net income. And then there are other factors that get added back in. And I can sit down with someone, I can look at either tax returns or P&L statements, and we can sit down together and go over every line item and make sure that everything that gets added back in is proper. This is a free service that we offer. It doesn't cost the seller anything. And truthfully, if they, you know, get the valuation and say, ugh, I'm not doing it, and, you know, it's no fee to them. So it's really a win-win for the seller.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a pretty good opportunity. Is there any sort of, you know, paper napkin calculation that it's X times your net income or anything like that, just to give people some sort of ballpark, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, there is a formula. A lot of times for the net income, if your net income is under like $100,000, there's no multiplier, but as the net income increases, between 100,000 and 250, it's doubled. Between 250 and 500, it's tripled, and anything above 500,000 is four times the amount. So there is, and then obviously there are other things involved, things like furniture, fixtures, also inventory, and all those things also get added to the value of the company.
So yeah, next is just to kind of give people an understanding of, you know, what they're looking at. Now, the flip side of this is we have to find buyers. So you get somebody who's got a unique business like I do, running a networking group. Most people don't even know what it is. So can it be a challenge based upon the business to find buyers willing to pay?
It depends on, I mean, there are always people out there looking for something. We list our sites on three major websites, BizBuySell, BrokerWorks, and DealStream, and as well as our social media and business media sites. And I also have people who are constantly coming to me and asking, you know, what sort of businesses are out there. But one of the first things I do when a buyer is interested, and I can't stress this enough, is we make sure they sign a non-disclosure agreement, because confidentiality is essential when it comes to buying and selling a business. There are so many moving parts involved in a company, and including employees and customers and things like that. So we always make sure that an NDA is signed. But you know, I'm also a member of several networking groups, and it's important for me to let people know what what businesses are available out there. There's always a unique person out there that's looking for that unique business. It's a pretty wide spectrum out there of buyers.
Now, that is kind of interesting, like you said, just the whole matching of it and stuff. So, but it has to be challenging for a buyer, because, you know, for conversation, say I want to buy a restaurant, well, there may be multiple restaurants in the area for sale. How do I know which one's right for me?
Yeah, it's important for you to find something that's a good fit for you. But also you have to make sure that the books are good and the reputation is good. But a lot of times people are looking to buy a specific business and they end up purchasing something completely different. A lot of times they don't know what a good fit for them is. And it's not until they see, whatever's certain listing is and say, oh, wow, that's actually really cool. I think I want to be able to do something like that. But also, it's important for a buyer to just have a good work ethic and be able to work hard, because it's always a challenge when you purchase a new business to sort of assimilate into something that's already existing.
Now, how about there's some real estate involved? How does that impact us? Can you help them with the real estate piece too?
Yeah, the real estate is always a separate transaction. But often a business seller who also owns their business, their real estate, will keep the real estate for residual income and let whoever's buying it sort of get acclimated with the business itself and sell it to them down the road. You know, they can get the residual income from rent or that sort of thing. But if they want to sell it and sell it all together, we bring in a commercial real estate agent for that transaction.
Now, we got about 90 seconds left. Do you have specific territories you work in?
Yeah, my territories are the state of Maine and northeastern Massachusetts. If any of your listeners are in a different area, I can put you in touch with the NAABB certified broker.
How do people reach out to you? How can they learn more, my friend?
They can look at our website at dirigobusinessgroup.com. Dirigo is spelled D-I-R-I-G-O. It's businessgroup.com. Or they can call me at 207-370-5870.
Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time out of the day to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Have a great day. Yep. Bye, bud.
Thank you. Bye.